Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Time for a sermon review here on Issues Etc. These are difficult words from Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It seems a text ripe for preaching of both God's law, because we haven't been doing his will. Maybe we're among those who will merely cry out, Lord, Lord, and yet there has to be some gospel in there someplace. Some would say, just go ahead and do God's will. That's why we do these sermon reviews here, so that we can learn to listen for proper proclamation of God's law that condemns our sin and the gospel that forgives our sins through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And every time we review a sermon, this time it's going to be a sermon preached by Pastor Christopher Eskett at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, this last Sunday on that famous Matthew 7 passage. We like to use our three-part diagnostic. It's simple. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Jesus himself says that if we are preaching from Scripture, which every good preacher should do, we're going to be finding him there. These are they that testify of me. And that example is followed by everyone who preaches according to Christ's command in Scripture. Every time they open the Bible, they are proclaiming Christ and him crucified, so much so that Paul will even say, I determined to know nothing except Christ and him crucified among you. We preach the cross, he says. So we expect our preachers today to do the same. That's why we say, how often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally of how often you hear Jesus specifically, not just a generic reference to a deity, but Jesus specifically mentioned. Now, if Jesus is all over the sermon, if he's mentioned many times, go on to part two of the diagnostic, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? This is a simple grammatical question, but it tells you whether or not the preacher is preaching about what Jesus does or what someone else does. If Jesus is the subject of the verbs, then he is the one doing the doing, running the verbs throughout the sermon. But that's not enough. You need part three to really cap off the diagnostic, and that is, if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, what are the verbs? Because you'll hear a lot of preaching about Jesus who helps and inspires and motivates or gives a great example of how to live. Jesus is kind of ultimate role model. But that's not how Scripture presents Jesus. This is the Jesus in Scripture who lives for you and suffers for you and bleeds for you and dies for you on the cross. Those verbs are required of Christian preaching. Every Christian preacher who proclaims Jesus should get you to the cross, and that requires those scriptural verbs of Jesus. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With that diagnostic in hand, let's start our sermon review, a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Christopher Eskett at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, on Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. And he's going to focus on the words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A blessed death is not dying quickly or painlessly or inexpensively. As beneficial as these might be, they are not what we ask for when we pray God for a blessed end. A blessed end, a good death, is to die in the confession of the Christian faith, to have opportunity to confess your sins and hear the word of forgiveness, to receive the body and blood of Christ, to commend your soul to God in prayer. All these are part of a blessed end. Thus, sometimes a prolonged death, while painful and costly, can be a blessing. It's good for people to have a chance to say goodbye, But it's particularly good to hear and receive the gospel. A year or so after I was ordained, I was faced with a theological examination more difficult than anything I had been given in seminary. I had read about it in books, but not encountered it in a real human being. I was called to the hospital to visit a woman who was approaching death. This woman, I knew, had spent her entire life as a member of Bethel Lutheran Church, the congregation to which I was assigned out of seminary. She had come to the worship services faithfully her whole life, and I think anyone who knew her would say she is a Christian. But now, as death drew near, she was plagued by the terrors of her conscience. She knew what the Word of God said, but she was convinced of this. She did not measure up. She had not lived as she ought, and now, in her final hours, was certain of but one thing. The God who knew her sins would judge and condemn her for them. A passage like we have in today's gospel reading is such a one to terrify the conscience. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."
Well, we got to stop for a break, and it's one of those places where you ought to be squirming already. But he's not done. Look, when a text has this kind of law in it, the preacher does well to mine it for all it's worth, not simply to make people squirm, but to prepare people to hear the great comfort of Christ's perfect righteousness, his perfect sinlessness, his perfect keeping of the law that avails before God on our behalf. We'll hear more of this sermon from Pastor Chris Eskett after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed, demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Creve Coeur, 314-997-3035. 997-3035.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The entire world has Summer Olympic fever, and with good reason. the best of the best are gathered in London to compete in a wide variety of sports. You might think the focus is only on those individuals who are supremely gifted, but I'm glad to say the Olympics are also focusing on those who greatly contribute to society but are regularly targeted for abortion, individuals with Down syndrome. Amy Hopkin is one such person. She was chosen to help carry the Olympic torch through a small English village and then lit the symbolic cauldron. Amy's an athlete in her own right, excelling in gymnastics and is doing the many things her doctor said she'd never do. May this exciting time of the Summer Olympics remind us all, innocent human life is sacred regardless of our talents.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing a sermon review. Sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Christopher Eskett at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, preaching on those famous words of Jesus, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." And he's in the middle of preaching the law, and we need to hear it. We need to hear that we have very often been the ones who are workers of lawlessness. We'll get back to that sermon in just a minute. The two always go together, don't they? Sound preaching of God's word that always allows the gospel of Jesus Christ to predominate, and sound practice on Sunday morning. They always go together. They should never, under any circumstances, be pitted against one another. The Issues, Etc., book of the month for July. It is the last day that this is the book of the month. It's called Faith and Act, and what it does is chronicle the way that the Lutheran reformers kept and discarded things that that had been handed down to them in terms of worship practice. One of the things that they did do, and Luther's key in this, is reintroduced sound preaching for the Sunday morning service. He made it not the center, but one of the centers of the liturgical life of the churches of the Reformation. So you can read all about it in our Issues, Etc. book of the month for July. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this great book. It's called Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for July called Faith and Act. Well, he's got us to Jesus' words, he has us where he wants us, and now he's going to apply the law to us.
I never knew you. If you look at your life in the light of God's word, you must fear the Lord will say the same thing to you. If you compare your heart with what Jesus says it should be, you must fear the Lord will say the same thing to you. I never knew you. Where you should have loved, you despised. Where you should have shared, you held back. Where you should have been patient, you lashed out. Where you should have been pure, you lusted. Where you should have forgiven, you nursed a grudge. Where you should have stayed silent, you passed on gossip and slander. Would God be unjust to judge you? No, he certainly would not be unjust. There are many things that consume us, things we are concerned about, with work and family and health and politics and our ambitions and our troubles. God's word tells us what we should be concerned about. Again and again, the Gospels are concerned about the kingdom. Not our little kingdoms or various earthly kingdoms, but God's kingdom. To enter the kingdom or to see the kingdom is what we should be concerned about. It's what the Gospels are concerned about. Today is the eighth Sunday after Trinity. Think back where we have been this last couple of months. On Trinity Sunday, we were presented with Jesus talking to Nicodemus about what is necessary to enter the kingdom. To enter the kingdom of heaven, to see the kingdom of heaven, one must be born anew by water and the Holy Spirit. Later, Jesus told a parable describing joy in the kingdom of God when a sinner repents. It's actually three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And when each is returned, when each is recovered, when each is found, there is great joy in the kingdom of heaven. Then we were warned that unless our righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Today we have a similar warning. Some who call upon the Lord, who say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what would you say to the woman on her deathbed, terrified by her conscience? How can we reconcile the seemingly disparate statements of our Lord? Jesus says in one place, I know my sheep, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep and calls them by name. But today we hear Jesus say to some, I never knew you. In the rite of baptism, we heard Jesus say, let the little children come to me. But in today's gospel, we hear Jesus say, depart from me. In another place, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why then does Jesus say here, depart from me? Why the difference? What will he say to you on the last day? In what will you trust in your hour of death? Jesus saying, come unto me? Or those fearful words, depart from me. I know you? Or I never knew you? It is a terrifying thing to ponder. Will his judgment be made capriciously, arbitrarily? Will it depend on how your good works balance out compared to your evil deeds? On what basis is his judgment? Mark this well. True faith and repentance are inseparable. Those who are condemned with those terrible words, I never knew you, depart from me, came to Christ boasting of their works. They had the faith of lip service, Lord, Lord, but not genuine repentance. They come on the basis of their works, and yet they are described as lawless. I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. From their perspective, they have works in which to boast, but in the assessment of Jesus, they have no works to their credit. They are lawless. Practicing lawlessness can conjure up images of anarchists, rioting thugs, smashing windows of shops, looting, destroying everything in their path. But here in the scriptures, we see a different kind of lawlessness because there is a different sort of law at work. You are against the law, hostile to the law, in rebellion, an anarchist, when you covet, when you are not content with what God has given you. You are against God's law in rebellion when you damage your neighbor's reputation. You are against God's law in rebellion when you look at a woman lustfully, when you are not the kind of husband or wife God calls you to be. You are against God's law in rebellion when you are angry with your neighbor. You are against God's law in rebellion, a lawless person, when you love, when you trust, when you fear someone or something else more than God himself. There is no entrance into the kingdom through mouthing prayers, paying lip service to Christ. There is no entrance into the kingdom through mighty works or preaching beautiful sermons in the name of Jesus. There is no entrance into the kingdom through your own righteousness. What was given to Tyler Reese this morning, and what was given to each of you in your baptism, was an entrance not based upon your merit, but Christ's. And so the life of the baptized is a life of ongoing repentance. Each night saying, Father, forgive me of my lawlessness, and on account of your dear Son, my Lord Jesus Christ, do not cast me away, but renew in me your Holy Spirit. And then each morning saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me your Holy Spirit, that I may not live lawlessly this day, but according to your word. And on your dying bed, should your conscience trouble you, and the evil foe throw back at you all your old sins. You say, yes, it is true. I am most certainly a terrible sinner, the worst of them all. But your word, O God, promises that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, to cleanse us for the sake of Jesus. I am baptized, and I still cling to the promises you made me there. For you see, baptism is not something we do for God, but something God does for us, something he gives to us that we can cling to when all other things that we cling to fade away and are shattered and destroyed. God gave you promises in your baptism. We cling to them. God grant that Tyler Reese grow in this faith and that we all are sustained in the same baptismal faith until the day we are welcomed into his kingdom by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. In the name of Jesus.
All right, that's the sermon from this Sunday by Pastor Christopher Eskett of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Words of comfort, because they point them out. These words point you outside yourself to all the claims that you might be tempted to make before the Lord. Didn't I do this and didn't I do that? To what he has done for you. And pointing you to exactly where that for you-ness is to be found in the objective truth of your baptism, having been buried with Christ and raised again with him through that water and promise of Christ. Comforting words for people who know themselves to be workers of lawlessness. Now, if you enjoy the sermon reviews that we do here on Issues Etc., you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. very simply, especially if you are a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Choice is a program that allows you to designate your already given charitable dollars through Thrivent Choice to Issues Etc. through Lutheran Public Radio. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate, and right there you'll find the Thrivent logo. Click on that, and remember to designate your charitable dollars for Lutheran Public Radio, and thereby you support Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues Etc. Thanks to all our Thrivent Choice members who've done so already, and if you're a member of Thrivent, please do so. Issuesetc.org, click donate, and look for the Thrivent logo.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.